Okay, I am giving a sermon on the Book of Life. It's a sermon that I haven't given for a long time. In fact, I don't know that in 20 years here in the Columbia Church that I've ever actually given a sermon on the Book of Life. I do remember hearing a sermon back in Norfolk, Virginia, at a feast site, I believe, somewhere in the, probably 1990, because our kids were still in college and Mr. Servideo was down there, and he had a cold that day, I remember, and was giving a sermon on the Book of Life. And I can't remember reading too much about it since. It seems like it's a subject where nobody would have any questions, because when you go through all of the scriptures, it's like, well, it's very evident what the Book of Life is. But there was an article in the Ministerial Journal by Mr. James Capo. And when I saw that and I saw his research, and there's not too much extra biblical research to it, but he did an excellent job in bringing out some of the ideas that people have on the Book of Life. So I thought, well, I will just go ahead and give a sermon on that subject. I haven't given it in a long time. The Ministerial Journal is not shared with the brethren. It's to the ministers only. If we just get real lazy during the week and we want to, you know, come up with a sermon on Sabbath morning about an hour before we speak, then we can just grab the Ministerial Journal. No, that's not the way it is, brethren. But, and I rarely actually do take from the Ministerial Journal and give a sermon based on some subject, but this is just one that I haven't given in a long time, and I thought it would be very helpful. So let's go ahead and turn to 2 Timothy to begin with in chapter 2 and verse 16. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 16. Here Paul is telling Timothy, who is a young evangelist, shun profane and vain babblings, for they're going to increase to ungodliness. And anyone who does take a doctrine and then twist it, it becomes an ungodly doctrine. Notice he gives an example here going on in verse 17. Their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who've done this. They've taken a subject that should have been absolutely, totally, completely understandable. You do have the Apostle Paul there, after all. You'd think that what he taught would not even be questioned. But notice what the subject was that they twisted, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past. Now, I don't know if any of you have come across anybody that has stated the resurrection is already past or whatever. I do know a man here, it was probably in the 1970s, early 70s, that came up with 10 resurrections. It wasn't three, there were 10 different resurrections. Now, I never did find out what all 10 were, but he had his scriptures. I suppose he had 10 scriptures, I hope at least, for what he was giving. But people can come up with all types of ideas. And so it said that we have to beware of that, because people will come up with fables, it says, and then vain babblings. And this would have been a vain babbling, because it was vain for these people to believe that the resurrection was already past. 2 Timothy 4, let's go over across the page or to the next page. 2 Timothy 4, verse 3 through 5. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. So what we are told here is people like new stuff. If it's something brand new, it does get our attention. It just absolutely does. I remember a few times when one man was really upset that he was not made the one to take Mr. Armstrong's spot. This was back in 1986 when Mr. Armstrong died. This guy was really upset, and he was more upset that there was a person from Chicago that was named, and he was also from Chicago, and he wasn't. And then he started coming out with these new ideas right after that. And One of the ideas was, is if you're really studying the Bible, you don't need much sleep. He said, I'm getting by on 2-3 hours sleep a night. And he said, I am stronger and more alert than ever before. He died within 2 months. Now, I don't know if it was lack of sleep, but I would say that lack of sleep did not help him any. I would think his immune system would have been going kind of trashy, and he died of whatever. I think it was natural causes. You know, we can't say that God just struck him down. I don't think that's what happened. I think that he just was breaking one of the laws of physical health. So we have to be careful. The point of all of this is we have to be careful, because when someone comes along with something new, then it is going to grab our ears. And it does. It does all of us if we hear something new. It's just normal for me if I hear something. And I'm not one that will dismiss, you know, just saying, no, there's nothing to it. I do want to prove what is right. And I think that's good for all of us to take something, not just throw it in a trash can, but to absolutely say, well, do I know how to speak in such a way that I will convict the individual who's in error, if they are? Or is it something that I should listen to? I dismiss right away people who they say the Sabbath is done away with, because that's been proven and reproven so many times. I've looked at that, and I haven't come across any new idea or new scripture that shows that the Sabbath is done away with. I would think the beast and false prophet are going to come up with a lot. Well, on this one here, there are some commonly held ideas that I didn't even know about. Some I did, but the most commonly taught version of the book of life by some is that in the beginning, before the foundation of the world, God wrote in a book. He put all the names in a book of all those who would be called, who would live for all eternity. And if your name wasn't in there, it could not be added. And if it was in there, it could not be blotted out. Now, that is an idea that is extant out there. Now, that's very nice if you're in the book, but it's not very nice if you're not in the book. But can you imagine that some have that idea and they think that God is like that, that he actually creates billions of people, and we don't know how many, 100 billion, I think, is a figure that's been thrown out. And then later on, when his plan is all finished, he says, you know, guess what? I already knew who was going to be in the kingdom. The others of you were just like ants crawling around on the earth, and you're not going to be in the kingdom. So just understanding the love of God tells me that that absolutely cannot be true. And I don't know who comes up with that. I am not sure, but that's out there. This is from the MacArthur New Testament Commentary, where this is written concerning Revelation 1 through 11, page 50. And here, this in his commentary, the author says, the guy's John MacArthur, the book of life belonging to the Lamb, the Lord Jesus, is the registry in which God inscribed the names and those chosen for salvation before the foundation of the world. So that's it. Now, there's another mainstream, and I think we're all probably a little bit more familiar with this second idea that's out there. And that is, once you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're written in the book of life. And after that, you can't be blotted out. It's the idea of once saved, always saved. So if you walk that sawdust trail down to where the minister is and you give your heart to the Lord, then you're in the book of life. And it doesn't matter what you do. You can sin all you want. And not that they're thinking that you will. They don't promote sinning. I'm not saying they do. And they don't say, go ahead and sin all you want. It's not the idea. But the fact is, they will say, once you accept Christ as your Savior, you cannot be blotted out of the book of life. There's a third idea, and I had never heard of this one, but it's the Jews. And the Jews have a period of time where they talk about your name being put in the book of life. And it's between the Feast of Trumpets and the Day of Atonement. And they say, okay, your name at that time is put in the book of life. But the catch on that is, it's only good for a year. So they actually have a saying that is, may you be inscribed and sealed for a good year. So that's how they look at the Book of Life. And we know, of course, the Book of Life is mentioned in the, what we call the Hebrew Bible, but the Old Testament. In Malachi, where it's talking about writing your name. A book is there that God writes your name in. But they think, you know, you're going to have a good year. And if you miss that one year, you can be put in the book the next year. Okay, so a couple questions that we will answer today. One is, can one's name be blotted out of the Book of Life? And the second question that we'll cover is, how do we get our names into the Book of Life? And then the third question is, when will most of mankind be written in the Book of Life? So we'll go through those three ideas. Now, the breakdown in the article that he had, I'm taking information from the article, because, as you know, if a minister writes information, another minister cannot take those notes and necessarily just teach those notes. He might be able to, but I have given information to men for sermonettes, and it's like, I don't think I can take this information and give a sermonette. And it's the same with sermons. And by the way, there has been the time when the minister gets sick at the last moment and he's got an assistant. This has happened a few times. And so the minister, right before services, hands it to his assistant and says, here's my notes, you give the sermon. How would you like that to happen? It's happened. I am kind of feeling a little sick right now. Marlene, could you? Oh, no, that wouldn't that wouldn't do it. Actually, I called someone one time. The pastor's wife answered, and I said, may I speak too? And the lady said, well, I'm the co-pastor, so you can talk to me. And I said, no, you're not. I said, that just shocked me that this woman, who's, they're gone, but it's been a long time ago. I'm the co-pastor. Marion has never said that at all, but that was interesting. I'd never heard that before and hope to never hear it again. Okay, so the question is, can one's name be blotted out of the Book of Life? One scripture that they go to prove this would be Revelation 3 and verse 5. Revelation chapter 3. And verse 5, and here it says, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father, before his angels. So this is never being blotted out, and some actually use this scripture. By the way, there are seven times in the book of Revelation where you can find the term book of life, besides, of course, many other places or references in the Bible. But what individuals say is, it's at that time, when that happens, you are in there forever, once you are in the Book of Life. Now, I think all of us can see through this scripture, because if we read it closely, we see it says, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot his name from the Book of Life. So we have to overcome, and we know that God says, he who endures to the end. I'm not going to bring up all the scriptures, but the fact is, he who endures to the end shall be saved. And that's the only way, of course, that salvation will come. Now, once it's there at the time prior to us dying, we know there would be a time where God would say, look, I know you've run a good fight, you've finished your course, and what is laid up for you is the crown of life. And we know Paul made that statement. So there is a time where we could actually say that. I don't know how long it was before Paul died, but it wouldn't have been too much longer. Maybe a few weeks, maybe a couple months, but he knew his time was at hand. And it wasn't immediately, because I think at the end of that book he said, bring the books, you know, and bring this garment that I have. I think it was in the same context. So it wasn't the next day. They would have had time to bring him a few things. And by the way, Just as an aside, when Paul said that, when he said bring the books, we think that those were scripture, that these were the writings of Paul, and that's what became scripture. That's just a possibility. But we can see again through this that it's if a person conquers his human nature, if we conquer it and we don't practice sin, then our name is going to be in the book of life. Psalm 69 and verse 28. Psalm 69 and verse 28. Here is a statement by David, and some take this statement to say that there are two books, 69 and verse 28. Let's see here. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and be and not be written with the righteous. So here we have a statement that says you can be blotted out. So you and I do not have a name that's placed in there that can't be blotted out. We know that we blot out things. My wife was grabbing a folder for me, and she right before we came, she took a black marker and she marked out the name on that the folder. And I said, "Why'd you do that?" She said, "Because it's the wrong name. You're not putting that information in the folder." So if you can blot out a name now, if we can blot out a name, certainly God can blot out a name too. It's not like, "Oh, I wish I wouldn't have put their name in the book of life. Why did I do that? It was too soon. I wish I would have waited longer." No, God puts our name in the book of life, and then it can be blotted out. And we know, of course, he gives us much time, but notice who he blots out. Verse 27, add iniquity to their iniquity, and let them not come into your righteousness. In other words, he's saying your righteousness would be where it would be continually living in a righteous environment for all eternity. The same kind of idea is in Revelation 22, if you'll remember, where it says, outside are dogs, and, you know, he went on to say, those who were not keeping or practicing God's law, meaning outside of the kingdom, there will not be individuals who are practicing sinners. Their names will have been blotted out of the book of life. They will have ceased to live. Now, some take this, though, because of the term book of the living. Book of the living, they take that to mean that there are two books. There's a book of life and the book of the living. Let's go to Revelation 3 and verse 5. Actually, we're just there, so why don't we just remember that the righteous are clothed in white, it says, and we find that when you put scriptures together, Book of Living is also a name for the Book of Life. It is not a different book. There are not two different books. So some people say, well, see, when these are the people who believe you can't have your name blotted out. Okay? You can't have your name blotted out. So they have to come up with some idea that when David says, let their name be blotted out, that that's got to be a different book. It's blotted out for the year, maybe? Or it was just some book, you know, that wasn't an eternal book. That there's a physical book, and then there's a spiritual book. And so they make two books. And nowhere in the Bible, when you put all the scriptures together, can you find that that's true. Revelation 21 and verse 27. Revelation 21. And I did say there were seven places there. Revelation 21 and verse 27. Notice, there shall by no means enter it, that is, the kingdom of God, because it's talking about New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. There shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So, individuals. Now, we have generations of people. And some say then that once your name is in there, and also people say that everybody's name will be in there, but we see that not everybody's name will remain in there if it's been placed in there. So if you think that God, in the very beginning, had all of these names down, then he says, look, if they defile themselves, if they begin practicing any abomination at all, their names are going to be taken out of the book of life. Their names will not remain there. So only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life will enter the New Jerusalem, and the name, your name, my name, can be blotted out. I hope I've never come across people who believe that they were in the book of life and their name was out. I hope most people who we know, where we think that they were real, valid, strong members, we thought that they were in the church, and then something comes along. I hope we don't come to the decision that, well, their name was in the book of life and it's blotted out. This is one judgment that we cannot make, brethren. We can never, ever say, well, I know that person. I absolutely know that they were in the book of life, and I know now that they've stopped, and I know then that they're not in the book of life and they won't be in the kingdom. That is a judgment that Jesus Christ has given. And he knows, God knows who has the Spirit of God and who doesn't. Now, there's been situations that I know about where people, I know they could not have been in a mindset where they were accountable any longer. And I think probably all of us know people like that, where they just weren't accountable. They were solid, and then they came up with a disease of some type. What about people who have Alzheimer's? Do people with Alzheimer's, does God say, well, no, look at, they're a very bad example now, I can't trust them. So there will be situations that we don't know anything about, and we can never, ever make a judgment as to who will be in the kingdom or who will not be. We can't make any condemnation, even of those who, well, I've baptized a lot of people over the years, and there have been a lot that have left. One man wrote me an email the other day and said, I've been watching you on the web over in Kansas City. And he said, and this has been over a 20-year period, this man said, we have really gone through we've had a different trip, I think he said. And so he started talking about what he went through. And there have been people who have given up the Sabbath completely, totally. In his case, he said, you know, he said every Sabbath that came along, I knew it was a Sabbath. But then he started, I think it was about 7 years ago or so, and he started looking at things. And it's amazing what trips people's mind where, you know, God just works with us. Everybody is worked with differently. And the fellow, and I know him real well, back, well, I won't say where he was from, but I knew him very, very well. And he was a really nice guy, really solid, he and his wife. And today they're still solid. There's no change from the attitude, the character that he has, except he went through a period of time. And he's doing really fine now. And it was a joy for us to get that email the other day. Because we knew where he went back to, and we didn't like initially where he went. But he's gone through that too. That was at least a start for him coming back, even though it wasn't a place that I would have sent him, I guess. And I won't go into detail there at all. But it was some guy who claimed that he was the two witnesses, and he was going to train the two witnesses, and that, you know, God was using him, and he was taught by the apostle, and, you know, all of these highfalutin ideas that he had. I always tell people, look, I'm the two witnesses because I was ordained twice by the same person. You're supposed to laugh. It is ridiculous what people come up with. It just really is. So what we find then when it comes to the book of life, we realize then with this first point concerning can one's name be blotted out, that our name can be blotted out. One final scripture on that would be in Exodus 32 and verse 30. Exodus 32 and verse 30. Again, I do want to emphasize that in the church, we don't condemn. We just do not condemn. It's bad enough for us to be, in a critical attitude, period, let alone condemning someone. So we have to be careful of that. Exodus 32, okay, verse 30 through 33. It came to pass on the next day that Moses said to the people, this is Exodus 32 and verse 30, you committed a great sin, so now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin. Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, oh, these people have committed a great sin, and they've made themselves a god of gold. Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book, which you've written. So we see here it's a book which you have written. So it's a book of the living, book of life, and the book that you have written. And then we see God saying, whoever sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. Now, we realize that most of Israel was not accountable, but it's a spiritual lesson for us today that once a person is accountable, then their name can be blotted out of the book of life. So it's a very good scripture proving that you can be blotted out. Now, if people want to take exception to this scripture and say, well, this is a book which you've written, it's not the book of life, then they can do it. They can get picky. Okay, well, how do we get our names into the book of life? I think it's pretty well known how we get our name in there. But some, remember, say that your book is in there from the foundation of the world. Okay? So we're going to take a look at some scriptures here. First of all, let's go back again to Revelation 13, in this case, chapter 13, verses 7 and 8. Revelation 13 and verse 7. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, for those of you who are English students who did well in English, or even if you didn't, it shouldn't make too much difference. Here we see that the book of life of the Lamb, so it's the book of life of the Lamb. Now here's another term that is used. Is that a different book? Does God have a book of life? And then Jesus Christ, the Son, you know, we have two now that have books of life. Is that what it's saying here? And the answer is no, it's just another name, the book of life of the Lamb. Slain from the foundation of the world. People take this to say that people's names are written from the foundation of the world. And I think we can pretty much see, most agree, in fact, most commentators agree, that this is not saying, it is not saying that people's names were written in there. It's saying the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. To prove that, we go to 1 Peter 1, verse 19. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19, where it's talking about redemption, not with physical things, but it goes on to say in verse 19, we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb, without blemish and without spot. He was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Now, the foundation of the world, if you will connect that with Hebrews 3 and 4, we know that that's talking about the days of creation, the 6 days of creation, and then the Sabbath day. That's what the reference is when we look at it and want to know exactly when that was. So there is a before the foundation of the world. And here we find the plan of God is surrounded, or he's in the vortex of it. Everything concerning the spiritual creation of all mankind was foreordained to be centered around Jesus Christ. And that's what it's saying here. And we could go to Colossians, for example, where we see that. It reads as physical, but we read into that too, without a doubt, based on the fact that Jesus Christ is the way and the truth to the kingdom of God. We realize that he is then the way to the kingdom of God, and the plan of salvation revolves around Jesus Christ. We understand and realize that. So it is not saying here that all of us were planned. Well, I don't know about the third row. Maybe the third row here was not planned from the foundation of the world. You've lost out if you're sitting in that row. Again, can you imagine? How do our names get in then? Okay. We can see that our names are not there based on a couple scriptures in the book of Romans. We'll go to Romans 7. Romans chapter 7. And in this case, we understand the section here is talking about repentance and baptism and what we have to repent of. So Romans 7 and verse 14. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Now, was Paul written in the book of life then, and yet he's carnal and he's sold under sin? Was he in the book of life when he was carnal, when he was sold under sin? And the answer is, well, no. Now, was there a time when God chose him, perhaps before birth, to be called? And the answer is, yes. And that could be with all of us here in this room. We just don't know at which time, but we do know that not everybody from birth has been called into the church, because God says if there is a converted wife and then there's an unconverted husband, it says set a right example. Who knows? Maybe God will call that person. Okay? So based on that, you realize that God puts people into the book of life, that not everybody from birth has been predetermined to be called. Now, everybody has been predetermined, right? Everybody has been predetermined to be in the kingdom. In other words, God says, here's my plan for everybody. I want them in the kingdom of God. Everybody. So there's no question about that. But there are some who were God knew that he was going to call them earlier, like Abraham. He knew he was going to call Paul. John the Baptist was from birth. So we know some were called in very early on, but we know that most will not be called until the second resurrection. Excuse me. That's when most people will have their calling, where they will fulfill the destination that God has for them. The destination is not hell that God has for anybody. The destination is to be in the kingdom, and that's for everyone who's ever lived. Now, when they're actually called, we don't know. Again, I don't know exactly when I was called. I know that at 15, 16 years of age, I was probably being called at that point. God didn't know I was going to accept the calling yet. He would not have known that, because we have a choice. But at the same time, he does call many. He says, many are called, few are chosen. If they're not chosen at the time they accept their calling, don't accept their calling, is he going to call them later? And the answer is, yeah. If I call someone and they don't pick up the phone, does that mean I'll never call them again? Didn't answer the phone? Do you think I'm going to call them back? You get the point? It's like, no, we call people back. And God is calling many. Many are called. Few are chosen. And those ones who don't accept the calling, God says, well, we'll call them again. In fact, there's a parable on that. Go back out to the ones that were called and tell them again. Okay, so the question is how we get our names into the book of life. What we have to do then is repent. Paul states in Romans chapter 7 that even though he was carnal, sold under sin, he says, verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ that I can be delivered. Okay? Now, this is what he went through. Every one of us is carnal, sold under sin. And the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God. It cannot be. We were in that state. And so God has to call us out of that. And in Colossians, there's so many other scriptures we could go to that I won't take the time to go to now. But God calls us from the dark side over to, that's in the dark Vader side, for those of you who are into that. He calls us from that side into the power source of his kingdom. From the power of darkness to where we have the power of the Holy Spirit to eventually enter the kingdom of God. That's in Colossians. Again, I won't go there. So we realize then that Adam and Eve sinned. They did not accept their calling. Or can they be called some other time? So how can we be called? We have to, of course, repent of sin. Ephesians 1, verse 13 and 14. Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14. Here we find, it says, in him you also trusted. Ephesians 1, 13. We trusted in him after you heard the word of truth. So there is a time when we come to the point that we finally trust in God. And this is another scripture that we can use to prove that God did not call everybody that's going to be in the kingdom from the foundation of the world. And we'll come to that in a moment here in Revelation 17 and verse 8. But the point at which most of us, all of us actually were called, is when we trusted after we heard the word of truth. You know, as I read this, I wonder, was there anybody that's ever been predetermined by God, called by God from the womb, who hasn't accepted their calling? Now, we don't know that, do we? We just don't know if they haven't accepted their calling. We can ask about Solomon. God really loved Solomon. Little boy running around, God says, man, I love that little boy. Because he makes a point of saying, you know, God does it. I love Solomon. So there must have been something special about Solomon. And Solomon, of course, really goofed, didn't he? Could Solomon have stayed in there? And the answer is, we don't know. Did Solomon ever have God's Spirit? I don't think so. But he sure had a good attitude when he was called to be the king. And he said, look, I don't know how to come in or come out. I need wisdom. This is the one request I have. I need wisdom to know how to rule your people. And God gave him wisdom, and he gave him a lot more too. Okay, well, here's a scripture, and before we get into the Great White Throne Judgment period, where people think that everybody has been called. Revelation 17 and verse 8. Revelation 17 and verse 8. And here is where it's good to know a little bit of Greek. Revelation 17 and verse 8. We have the beast that you saw was and is not, and ascends out of the bottomless pit and goes to perdition. Those who dwell on the earth will marvel whose names are written, not written, that is, in the book of life, from the foundation of the world. So here they have it. You see, names are not written in the book of life. So there's some that were written in the book of life, and there's some that were not written in the book of life, from the foundation of the world. So they're saying that at the time of the foundation of the world, their names were not written, and they will never be in the kingdom, ever, ever again. Well, here's a point, like I said, where we need to know a little bit of Greek, and it's in the preposition. From is a preposition. It's kind of like the sermon I gave on faith in Christ, faith in Christ, faith in Christ that we saw in Galatians 2 and verse 20, I believe it was. But there's a mistranslation that changes everything, that it's not just faith in Christ, but also faith of Christ, that we can have faith in Christ and never be justified. We have to have also the faith of Christ. And remember I said, and I know all of you remember this for sure, I can't remember what I gave, by the way, some sermons that I gave 5 weeks ago. I could probably give you a better idea than you might be able to give me, but and I know my wife can look it up in her notes. But it was a major difference between King James and New King James. The King James was right. So here we have names not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. The word here should not be from, it should be at. Out away from, or out away from, would even be better. We shouldn't say at the foundation of the world. So we get this right now. From is not the same as at. Okay, from is out away from. The word is actually apo, A-P-O. If you're interested in looking it up, it's in the Strong's Concordance would be 575. And the G means Greek. If it's an H, it just means it's from the Old Testament. So when you see a G always there, if you wonder, well, what does that G mean? If it's in the New Testament, it's always going to be G. If it's in the Old Testament and you look it up, it's going to be Strong's word H. It's Hebrew. I think, what they have. Isn't it H? I don't pay much attention to the Old Testament, but I'm pretty sure they give an H there. So it's apo. And that word means after. It does not mean just from, meaning at. It's not at. It means after or since. And from definitely can mean since, can it? But to be more clear, since the foundation of the world, in other words, God has been adding names to the book of life since the foundation of the world. And at this time, after 6,000 years, not everybody will be added. In fact, most people, since the foundation of the world, at the time of the beast and the false prophet, will not have been added. So most of the world, it's saying, are going to be astonished at what the beast and false prophet have done. Their names are not written in the book of life. Those of us whose names are written in the book of life have God's Holy Spirit. And we will not be astonished. We will say, it's coming to pass. It's coming to pass. Okay, so, and that's important. That's very important. There are people whose names are in the book, we know. We can go into the Scripture and see there are quite a few saints who've had their names there. Some individuals are mentioned in the New Testament whose names are in the book of life. Abraham's name would be in the book of life. Isaac, Jacob. These individuals are mentioned. Hebrews 11, you could take a look at general categories whose names were in the book of life. And they are still waiting to be perfected along with everybody else. They're still waiting for the city that is not dirt, whose streets are gold. Okay, the last question then is, when will most of mankind be written in the book? And we go to Revelation 20, verse 5, and then verse 11. Here we find where after 6,000 years, we reign for 1,000 years with Christ. This is in verse 4, the very end. So it's Revelation 20 and verse 4. They lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. And then verse 5, the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. So you have 7,000 years during that 7,000 year, then people's names will be added in the book of life, just like right now. I'm sure many will have their names written in the book of life. But still, you have billions that have lived in that first 6,000 year period whose names are not yet written in the book of life. So we come down to verse 11, where it says, I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. So here you have a chance. Was it this last week, I believe, where Mr. Franks in the FI class was talking about people who think that we in the Church of God, we peculiar people who believe, you know, that everybody's going to have a second chance. And, of course, we always say, no, it's their first chance. They never had a chance for salvation before. Their mind was absolutely never open. So it's this time then, as all of us know, we go to the feast and we keep this period where we remember, and we're told year after year, that there will be a time when all mankind will have an opportunity for salvation. Now, wouldn't it be something, because you have this taking place, we know that there is a resurrection, wouldn't it be something if God resurrects people, maybe 90 billion, maybe he only has 10 billion that he predetermined to be in the kingdom, and he wrote their names, 10 billion names down, 90 billion names he doesn't, but he's going to bring them out of the grave. And what he's going to say is, your names were never written there in the future. Surprise. You don't get a chance. All of you have to be burned in the lake of fire. So, you know, it's God is a reasonable God. The scripture can be understood. It has to make sense. And if something doesn't make sense, then either we don't understand all the scripture, or it's not true. Or it's not true. And to me, this is one of the most sensible doctrines that there is. One man came up to me in New Jersey, and I remember after services, and he was leaving the church. He said, the worst doctrine we have in the church is the doctrine where we believe people will have a chance after the 7,000 year period. He said, that's horrible. And he said, because that keeps us from preaching the gospel. He said, it's a terrible doctrine. It's like, well, even if we preach the gospel as a witness, that doesn't mean, and we are going to, by the end of time, at least in the last 2 or 3 years of the 6,000-year plan, I believe everybody will be locked into the two witnesses. So those witnesses will let everybody know the plan of God, that they have a choice to make, that they're going the wrong way, they should be keeping the Sabbath, they should be keeping the holy days, they should be following the Ten Commandments. So for him to say, you know, it keeps us from preaching the gospel. And it's like, well, I don't think so. We're doing everything we can that I know. I mean, we've had millions of Plain Truth magazines back in the 1980s when we were in San Antonio. Man, we had a Plain Truth newsstand program. Remember that? Many of you were involved in that, probably right here in Columbia. We put out loads of Plain Truth magazines. We had a lot of people that were listening to the TV program. And we had some growth, but we didn't see millions coming into the church, let alone billions. So to me, this is one of the most merciful ways. In fact, there's a scripture in Romans 11 that says that these that have been cut off the branch are going to be grafted back in. In other words, God is not going to be calling everybody at the time when he takes out the Jews, when they're no longer his people, and he grafts in the Gentiles. He tells the Gentiles, now, you know, don't get heady about this, he said, because God can graft them back in. And he will. God will graft back in to the branch all peoples, meaning back to Jesus Christ and God the Father to have a knowledge of them and to be keeping the commandments. So here it says, then I saw the dead, verse 12, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open. Now, the books would be the books. There's a lot of books in here. What do we say? There's 49 books, if you take and put some of the categories together. I think like Kings, 1st and 2nd Kings would be a book, and 1st and 2nd Chronicles. But I think there's 49 books that we can count. But there's a lot of books. Even if you count every single one of them, there'd be over 49. So what we have then, the books are opened to give understanding, because when the books are closed to the understanding of people, they're no longer accountable. If you have never been given commandments to follow, and most people know that it's wrong to steal, but when they don't know that they should be worshiping the God that brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they're worshiping, you know, their Muslim God, then they're not accountable. They don't know. So the books are open for understanding. And then another book, which is the book of life. They never had the opportunity to have their name written in the book of life. This will be the very first time, and most, we think, I hope all, most will accept God's way. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. Who's being judged right now? Not everybody. Peter says, judgment is on the house of God. Judgment is not on the world at all. So judgment is now on the house of God. This is the time now where all mankind will be judged according to their works. They're not being judged right now. So if people, you know, really get you upset, we use a word for it, if they really get you upset, you know, we don't judge them. You know, it's okay to be upset, but we can't say, they're going to go to hell. They should know better. Now, they don't have God's Spirit. They don't have full understanding. Most people are that way. So this is the time when their judgment comes for the first time. And then you put a line between 12 and 13 because you have then the final resurrection of those individuals whose names were not found written. Verse 15, their names are not found written in the book of life. So the final conclusion of it all is that everybody will have a chance. The calling will be at different times throughout mankind's history. But all mankind has or will be called to be a disciple of Jesus Christ by the time it's all over. Some will not accept it, and their names then will not end up being written in the book of life. And by the way, if there might be a question on that too, will there be people who are in the lake of fire whose names were never in the book of life? And the answer is, yeah. There'll be people who never accept the calling, who reject Jesus Christ, who never are baptized. There will be people in that category, I think, I would presume. So there will be people who have their names blotted out of the book of life, and then there will be people whose names are never written in because of their choice. Their choice. So with all of this, I hope it's understandable. But let's make sure, brethren, that we don't have itching ears on some of this. If something comes along that scratches our ear, make sure you get it solved right away. Have an answer for the hope that lies within us. But we don't want to be like Hymenaeus and Philetus, who thought the resurrection was past, who I hope repented before they died, and whose names I hope will be in the book of life.